Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Okay, Maxie. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Beauty Talk with Illusion Cosmetics for today, Thursday, July 30th. I'm your host, Janice Tanell, co-owner of Illusion Cosmetics, and tonight our guest is supposed to be Emmy Award-winning makeup artist Valente Frazier. However, Valente is stuck on set right now, and we're not quite sure if he's going to make it for the whole entire show or not. If he's not able to join us for a reasonable amount of time, we will reschedule Valente, but he's going to try to make it. So we'll see. Also, my sister is not joining us tonight because she, too, is still on set. So everybody's working, which is a good thing. Tonight, I'm joined by Maxie. Thank you, Maxie, for calling in at the last minute, hanging in with me, helping me to get through this show. Are you there, Maxie? Hello, Maxie. Okay, not sure if I lost Maxie or not. Maxie, are you still there? Okay, maybe not. And I see that my sister has called in for a few seconds. She's probably just listening because she's still on set. If you can say hello, say hello. Hello? Can you say hello? Okay, I didn't know if you were still quite on set or if you were able to talk or not.
Oh, I'm on the makeup trailer right now at the moment.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you can hang out for a few seconds. Okay.
Yes.
Well, what I was saying was that Valente is on set himself. He wasn't supposed to be today. It was supposed to be a day off for him, but he got called in for something special. So, and he's still there. So he may or may not be able to join us. If he's not able to join us for a reasonable amount of time, we're going to reschedule Valente Frazier. But we may have some other people calling in. Clark Vincent, who just worked with Ashanti on The Wiz. And Nolan may join us a little later. Are you there, Maxie?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I didn't know what that was earlier.
I was there, but I couldn't hear you guys.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you can hear us. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, with a little bit of a crackle.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're all together
now. I'm
calling
from Los Angeles.
Thank you for calling. I was just saying a little while ago before you got off, I was thanking you for joining me a little earlier than you normally do because you're going to help me get through this show tonight. Is that right?
Yay. But I was actually excited to talk to Valente, too, because I love me some Tyra.
I know. Well, he's gonna,
I have so many questions to ask him.
Well, hold on to him because he may be able to call. We're not sure. He was just still on set like 15 minutes before the show started, so he may be able to call in. But
we have a lot of important stuff to talk about anyway, and you know,
yes,
when they
do. Yes, we do. So, in the meantime, if he's not able to call in, we'll get him back on another day, and you can ask your questions. But if he calls in, you can still take a couple questions in. So, yeah, so it'll work. normally, Maxie, let me mention this really quick. For those of you who are listening, you can join the conversation at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. You can also email your questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com, and you can join us live in the chat room for real-time conversation. And tonight and every night going forward, we are offering a free giveaway in the chat room. tonight, David of OCC was very gracious enough to offer the Best of OCC set from OCC Cosmetics. So for those of you who are in the chat room who participate the most, we're going to pick one winner. And for those of you who participate the most, we're going to pick a winner from that group, and they're going to win the Best of OCC set.
Oh, my gosh. What a set. I'm really wanting to join.
You want to be in the chat room so you can win, right?
I have a great relationship with OCC. It's my favorite makeup line. They're totally good to me, and whoever gets that package is super lucky.
Yes, I understand. It's going to be some lip tars and some loose pigments and a couple other things. So just stay tuned for that. Well, whoever wins will ask you for your contact information, and we'll forward it over to David, and he'll get the giveaway out for you.
I think we should be super duper interactive today, since we do have like a little bit of extra time on our hands. Maybe we could answer more questions too along the way.
Absolutely.
Than we normally do. Yeah, well, I really want to talk about several things. I mean, I'm going to talk about, I think we should spend a little time talking about what makeup things we hate, meaning like what types of applications we hate, what types of powders or foundations or, you know what I mean, like when a woman wears very dark lip liner fills her lip in with,
being when a woman wears pencil.
Yeah, I mean, it just kills me because the reason I bring this up is because, you know, I noticed, first of all, that a lot of women put foundation all over their faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they cover every square inch of their skin. And there's very few people that have bad enough skin to where you would actually have to put foundation all over your skin. But then, on top of it, they will powder that entire foundation and sort of create this mask, which like I do for myself to make my face disappear, and like I try to build on a new face for myself. But I think for women, it's just so wrong. I think, you know, it's really important to focus on the skin. Like what you put on top of it, the eyeshadows, the mascaras, the lipsticks or glosses and blushes and stuff, they're almost like just accents to a perfect skin. And you don't have to have perfect skin to have a perfect skin makeup application. And I just think that you know, when you do have bad skin, that insecurity brings out the urge to cover up your whole face. And it's just, you know, very wrong. Even in, like, entertainment, like, some actresses are used to having like a mask painted onto their face, and even some models, but I really rebel against this. I think foundation and powder should be used so strategically in order to have the most beautiful effect in the end. You know, it's not meant for the entire face. Unless
so
it's
you
a
don't
period.
Like, you don't think like in film and television, foundation should be applied all over the face, even on someone with perfect skin?
Honestly, no. Nowadays, when we're dealing with HD and like all these different types of, you know, methods that they're shooting in, like especially HD, I personally can't stand it if the whole face is covered. It should have definitely primer or moisturizer all over the face, but an entirely matte face, an opaque matte face, is never good, not even on TV to me. Believe me, there's times when it is appropriate for period pieces, for, you know, perhaps older actresses, when it requires a certain type of look, but not when it's just, you know, supposed to be a beauty thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think but for beauty stuff, it's there's got to be some moisture and some natural skin left in. I mean, this is not this is just my opinion.
Right, and
world.
I think some older actresses can stand not to have foundation all over the skin.
Really? Wow. See, I love to, like, I feel like older actresses, like, usually there's, like, discolorations in the skin and different textures besides the wrinkles. There's, you know, all sorts of other stuff going on to where, you know, I'll put on more to look like less for old people because... and especially now that I'm airbrushing, by the way, that I do less when I airbrush. I end up, you know, because the effect of the airbrush sort of wipes away age without having to put too much on, you know?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So I love now airbrushing older people. But, yeah, that's so weird. Isn't it odd how we end up with different recipes and different formulas mm-hmm. for... achieving, you know, the end result.
The one thing I can say about older women, you know, it is what it is with the skin. I mean, if there are wrinkles there, you can't really hide them. You know, for high def, you can't really hide the wrinkles. So to me, less is best. For younger actresses, if you don't put something on the skin, in my opinion, I don't care how beautiful it is, that light and that camera will read right through that skin. For me, it has to be covered.
Yeah, well, to me, it depends on what they're using. If they're using film, I think that we can go in any direction because film is so forgiving.
Exactly, but most days they're not using film.
And that's true. Like when during the film days, we could sort of, you know, every sort of actress that's worked for a while or that's successful also has her own deal, you know, that she wants. Like, there's some people that are stuck to... I've met actresses that are on shows now that come with their Joe Blasco, you know, in their purse. Like that,
right.
That just want that Joe Blasco all over their face and down their neck onto their chest. And, and so that's one thing, but... I never thought about or considered, you know, that beautiful, perfect skin would, you know, be distracted or look, you know, absorb light or anything like that. Because when I see the things that I do, like on HD, like you said, to me, less is more for everybody. Like, for me, for video and for HD, less is more for everybody in every situation. Granted, you know, there are times if I'm in a hurry, you know, I have 1,000 times covered an entire face.
Okay.
If I'm in a hurry and I don't have time to, like, moisturize and highlight and bronze and beautify and do all the extra little tricks I do to make it so that, you know, not a whole layer of foundation is necessary, if I don't have that time, I will slap on, you know, a whole face, I guess. I try not to, and I hate it. Mainly, I'm talking about in real life, though. I shouldn't have strayed into, you know, I shouldn't have made such a broad statement because I didn't really mean always for TV. I mean always in real life.
Right.
For an everyday woman, I never... want to see a woman with foundation and powder all over her face, no matter what, in real life. Unless she has severe burns, scars, you know, like, unless there's some real skin damage or problem that's all over the place, rosacea, I hate to see that on a woman. Any woman of any age in the real world, I think it's terrible. I think women need to learn how to strategically apply their foundations and powders. What was my point? I didn't, you know, straying into TV, I had to admit that, yeah, I'm always putting on a whole face on TV. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm talking about for real life mainly.
I want to just make a quick comment. Christina Ashley in the chat room said, this is very true. Makeup should be used to accentuate features, not create features that look unnatural.
Aww. So, you know, but then, you know, that's, there are people who have perhaps, you know, a droopy eye that they want to lift, or a bad eyebrow structure, or a brow bone, where they could create a brand new brow, or a brand new, perhaps some sort of a lip line for a fraying lip line, you know, for an older person. There are times when makeup is intended to sort of, you know, make up for our existing flaws, whatever we think they are, you know, and when it should change and totally, you know, metamorphosize something. But I was mainly talking about the skin, which bugs me. I mean, lots of things bug me that women do. Like I said, the dark eyeliner, I hate it when they do.
Let me ask you about the dark. Now, you were talking about the lip liner or the, you mean the dark lip pencil around the lip. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I just, you know, I do that when I'm creating, like, a character in something, like a chola or someone super ghetto or whatever.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't, but I see women out in the real world, lots of them, that are still doing that.
Where do you think
you know?
They come from? Where do you think it comes from?
I think it comes from, mainly it's from women that feel they have a smaller lip, and they're trying to enhance or accentuate their lip.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the ultimate goal. Like I think they're just trying to say, hey, here's my lip. But it just looks so terrible in the end. Like, it just, I hate it. I can't even, you know, it's like they're, you know, there's just like an outline. Like, remember Eminem's wife used to do this, like, black lip line around her mouth. I don't even know if you remember all the paparazzi photos of her. but people really wear it. And, you know, I'm more concerned with real women. Like, yeah, I work with, you know, famous people or whatever. But, like, to me, it's more important to, like, get a beauty, a message across to real women, because famous people and celebrities, like, you know, whatever, like, their little day at the Oscars to me is less important than some woman's wedding or some woman rejuvenating her life or her career, or her marriage somehow, like I said last week. Let me just
make a quick comment. Just for those people who are joining us and just now listening in or joining us in the chat room, I just wanted to let you all know again that our guest for tonight, Valente Frazier, is running behind, and he may or may not be able to call in tonight. So if he's not, we will reschedule the show with Valente. Right now we are speaking with Maxie and my sister Denise, and we're talking about things that we don't like about makeup. And just want to read something from the chat room. Christina Ashley, who made a comment a little earlier, she said, in real life, is any makeup absolutely necessary at all? She says, oh, but I just mean those people who go overboard with things like contouring and things like that. What is your opinion on an appropriate age to start wearing makeup?
You know, well, what do you have to say about that? Because I have got tons to say about it, of course. Like, if you ask me about butterflies, I'll be like, well, I believe the plight of the monarch butterfly. And I'll go on and on about it. So what do you think?
Well, as far as the appropriate age to start wearing makeup, it's kind of hard to say. Because, you know, like, in your teenage years or when you're, like, you know, like, when you're high school freshman or whatever, I mean, it's okay, I think, before high school if you're just wearing, like, a little bit of lip gloss. Whatever. Then when it comes to high school, I'm going to speak for myself. I know before high school, I was wearing lip gloss. By the time I got to high school, I was wearing, you know, like the lip gloss, lipstick, maybe a little shadow and mascaras and things like that, but not really a full face of makeup, you know, like the foundation, the blush. So I really don't know when to say a good time is to start wearing it. Or what's age appropriate, rather, but I guess it really depends on you and your interest in wearing makeup.
But there is like sort of a society standard of what a well-groomed woman is, okay? And I talk about a woman's packaging a lot. I think there's some women that I love to see without makeup ever, you know? And it depends also on your occupation, what your lifestyle is, or whatever it may be. But as in regards to children wearing makeup, I think it's cute for a child to put on a little bit of glitter or, like you said, lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
But I think until high school, maybe just for, you know, social standings, you know, and just to be part of the world so they don't stand out too much and they're not, you know, just showing up like Amish women, you know, saying in school.
Right.
I think that it's appropriate for a girl to do a little bit of mascara. I think it's absurd for a young girl to wear lipstick at any time. Mm-hmm. I think I like a lip stain or a lip balm or like a lip gloss lipstick combo, you know, like the lip tars or something like that is fine. But I just, when girls are out just, you know, with a cute color, with a lovely color, is what it really depends on as well for the lip. But if a girl is out there in high school with lipstick and full-on eyeshadow, I understand a loose pigment shimmer on the eyelid of a high school girl. I think every high school girl should have her favorite loose pigment shimmer for her eyelid. But when it comes to, like, you know, starting to contour and stuff like that, I think it's really craziness, especially like women of color in the industry. Like, you'll see their nose. I talk about this a lot. You'll see two dark black lines on the side of their nose.
Right.
As a contour. And that's one of the other things I hate. It's like top two on my list of things I hate is when, like, I feel like, you know, women of color have beautiful noses. And I understand that you might want to narrow the tip and perhaps bring it up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that strategically by just putting a little dot of shimmer at the tip of your nose.
Right.
You can make your nose the width that you want, and you can make it stand up a little bit and point, you know, like have a little curve at the tip by just putting a little lighter dot of shimmer at the tip of your nose, the exact width you want your nose to be. And that will change your nose. It'll revolutionize your nose, okay? Just doing that. And maybe some people will want to build up a bridge, you know, like have a little bit more bone structure there. Maybe they feel like they have a flatter nose, like some Asian women and some women of color will feel that they have.
Right.
Then you just would use maybe a shade darker than your skin to start sort of painting. You can paint an illusion on there with just the most subtle colors and just with the proper placement of it with practice.
Okay.
Like if you look at a nose you like, you'll see where it's highlighted, you'll see where there's depth, where it goes in and out. And you can sort of adjust your nose to be whatever with just the slight one shade darker than your actual skin, a foundation or powder. A great thing to do if your nose is really straight and you do want it to turn up a little bit besides the shimmer dot is just to do a slight little dark ridge just beyond the ball of your nose, like where you want your nose to stand up. Like Marilyn Monroe used to do this with her nose, and it's how she sort of had hers like that. She would make it lighter at the tip, and then she would paint sort of a little bit of a shadow crease right beyond that. I wish this was a video or on camera. I don't know if anyone's understanding what I'm saying.
Let me just say really quickly, we have a caller from, looks like, the Washington, D.C. area. Hello, caller. Do you have anything you want to say or ask a question you want to ask?
This is Aisha. No, I'm just trying to catch up on what you guys are talking about.
Oh, hi, Aisha.
Hi.
Say hi to Maxie and Denise.
Hi, Maxie. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Aisha.
Thank
Where are you calling
us.
From?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, hi, I'm in Los Angeles.
Just wanted to let you know, Aisha, since you're just joining us, that Valente was running behind and he was still on set.
Okay.
So he has not called in yet, and we're not sure if he's going to be able to join us tonight or not. So if he doesn't, we will reschedule the show with Valente. And I just also wanted to say we were talking earlier about the black eyeliner, and Christina Ashley, who's in the chat room, is saying that she's trying to get her 12-year-old niece to understand that she doesn't need a black eyeliner in her backpack. And her 12-year-old niece is listening in. Listening in today also.
No, honestly, this is like my fourth hated thing, especially if it's a liquid eyeliner. The only time black eyeliner is good is if you're doing some sort of costume on Halloween at that age. It makes you look sort of, you know, gruesome almost. And I hate black liquid liner on almost everyone unless they're doing a period piece, unless it's super blended in with some shadow too.
Mm-hmm.
But on a young girl, the best advice is for her to go to OCCmakeup.com and get a couple of the little pigment, loose pigment shimmer shadows, and they change your whole eye and make you feel so pretty. And anyone can put it on, like you can dip your finger in it even and just rub it on your eyelid, and it's on. And that with a little mascara will do so much more for a 12-year-old than black eyeliner. Unless she's, like, listening to Marilyn Manson and she's, like, dresses like a punk rocker. And at that point, I would say the mom has already let her go so far that she should just go ahead and let her wear the black eyeliner. You know, but no. Take the black eyeliner out of your backpack because it's just it's not pretty.
I'm glad.
No, it's not, and it's too hard. I'm sorry, actually, were you going to say
yeah.
that?
No, I'm sorry. I said I'm glad you guys are discussing it. It's funny, my sister just started doing the same thing with the black eyeliner, and I looked at her the other day, and I'm like, why are your eyes looking so black? Cause it was
how old is she?
She's 15.
15, okay.
She's putting the black eyeliner inside of her eye or on the top eyelid like cap, like
on
a cap?
On the bottom.
Oh, underneath her eye?
Yes.
Oh, God, no. Whatever
yeah, exactly.
you do.
Exactly.
Oh, God, no. That's the only place
you,
where you can never,
like
ever put it.
Yeah, it looks like that. So
No.
CC.
Oh, her, Christina's niece loves that idea. She says her friends are borderline chola, and I don't want her to make that jump to the lip liner thing. So she likes the idea, which you said about the OCC, the pigment. Aisha, how young was your sister when she started wearing makeup altogether?
Oh, my gosh. It's just been in the past few weeks.
Oh, okay.
Nowhere. Yeah. It just really came from nowhere. The first time I did makeup on her was a couple Halloweens ago, but she still wasn't really into it. And I don't know if it's a boy that she's liking or
okay.
sparking it.
You know, I think at that age, I think it's probably more her friends that she's around.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably trying to fit in a little bit right now.
Right.
And so it's best to give her guidance on the proper direction of makeup before she ends up looking like a stripper in junior high or middle school.
Exactly, because she has gorgeous, huge almond eyes, and, you know, she gets compliments all the time. So, yeah, I'm just going to have to teach her how to do the OCC trick.
Yeah. I mean, with tons of mascara, so much can be done with tons of mascara and a loose pigment shimmer shadow on the eyelid.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everybody. I mean, everybody in the world except for a very, very old woman.
Right. Absolutely.
Shimmer on the wrinkles is never cute.
No.
Uh-uh.
Well, we have Cynthia joining us on the line. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Denise. Hi, ladies. Hi, Maxie.
How are you?
Hi.
Do you have a clear connection, Cynthia?
Right now I do. Online I did not.
Yeah, somebody else said the same things. I was just wondering if anybody else was having problems. If they were having problems online as well.
Sound.
Some crackling? Yeah, that's what they said, some crackling.
Oh, okay. I think the crackling's me having some chips. Because I'm eating a snack over
no.
here.
No.
Okay, I'm done. Okay, is the crackling gone?
Oh, Cynthia, I was saying earlier that Valente is still on set. He sent a message about 15 minutes before the show was supposed to air that he was supposed to be off today, but got called in for a special thing that Tyra is doing, and so he's still on set. So we're talking about something different than what we normally don't talk about. We normally talk about things that we like. We're talking tonight about things that we don't like about makeup. Now, I know there's something, Cynthia, that you just absolutely don't like. You might as well just tell us about it right now.
Where can I begin?
I know, right? Everybody has a long list.
Let's start with a photo that I received as an email today, and it's
I received that photo as well.
Yes. Foundation should match your complexion. Please, ladies, stop testing your foundation, like on your nose or whatever you're testing it. It should be along the jawline, always. I mean, and this was television. This was
not only should it match, but it should match your neck, not just your jawline.
Exactly. It should not look like a white, ashy piece of foolishness.
Maxie, I have to email you this picture. This lady, I think she's like medium to medium dark brown skin African American woman. And when we saw this picture, her face was, it just looked like white powder or white foundation on her face.
But is it her fault, or is it her makeup artist that did that for her? Does she do it herself?
Know. She may do her own. I believe she probably does her own makeup.
Yeah, she does her own.
I think she does her own makeup, because I've seen this woman on several, you know, like gospel shows and performances and stuff, and I think she does her own makeup. It was a horrible mess.
I don't know if she did it herself, but if I was the makeup artist of that, I would not own up to that at all.
And that's the reason why I'm saying that she did it herself, because as a makeup artist, I wouldn't want to own up to that.
No.
Honestly, it is so hard to mess. I mean, it should never stray that far from the woman's actual skin. And it should never go to orange. But I understand the challenge for people to try to, they have to blend together a fresh color for every woman of color, because every woman of color is slightly different.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, honestly, there's so many different hues of skin for women of color. Like, white people, like, they pretty much come in, like, four or five colors. You can just have it in a palette. You can have it in a palette, okay? But not, you know, and then you blend a little bit, whatever. But I'm telling you that, you know, it is a challenge, but you shouldn't be attempting that or being, you know, until you're ready.
But, you know, I'm trying to determine, like, what was the situation there, because it's so obvious that it's not her color. So whoever applied the foundation, whether it was her or a makeup artist, what were they thinking? Because it was definitely not bright.
So it's not the flash, like, hitting her or anything like that?
No, I think, no, you know, because I understand what you mean by that. Because sometimes it could be the flash and, you know, it could white you out a little bit, but no, that was very
Max,
wrong.
Stop making excuses.
That's where, baby, I think what we need to do is we need to send her something closer to the right color. We probably can't match her just based on looking at the photos of the bad foundation, but maybe we could send her something closer to a woman of color foundation, you know, like a brown foundation.
But you know what? That's an excellent idea. That's an excellent idea. But I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, I know sometimes people go to the store, like if you go to CVS or something, and you look for a foundation, and, you know, you can't really tell by just looking at the packaging. But most of the time when we do that, we come very, very close.
The black women, I don't think black women can really find a foundation at CVS anymore. I mean, I just, none of the companies really go there, you know, and there's one dark color for every brand. It's, women of color are not represented by the chain stores or by the big makeup lines, even though they'll have Halle Berry and Queen Latifah in the commercial. They will not actually have Halle Berry's or Queen Latifah's skin color of foundation.
Well, but then if you think about it, Halle Berry and Queen Latifah are on the lighter end of the spectrum, so they very well may have their color.
Well,
now, if you're looking for Cicely Tyson's color,
right,
or Angela Bassett or Whoopi Goldberg's color or something like that, then they very well may not have it.
And they won't have it, and guess what? We have just uncovered the reason why this poor woman is out there with some deep olive foundation on her very dark skin is because she doesn't have it available for her. She probably is just going to, who knows what she has available, you know, makeup-wise in her area, or, you know, maybe she doesn't know of exactly where to go, but if she's walking into CVS, she is not going to find her color, and she's going to grab the closest thing to it and just go do her photo shoot.
Well, here's another part to that, too. A lot of women don't realize, especially someone like me, I tan very easy. I was just looking at my feet, and I'm like, I went outside today long, and I tanned already. She could be using the same color that she bought in the wintertime now that she's gotten a tan. Or, you know, people who travel a lot don't know that they need two different colors.
Right. But I thought it was so far off to where she was like, it was crazy.
Yeah. No, this photo is crazy.
I want an email to me because I'm going to talk about it next week.
Yeah, I'll email it to you.
I want to help this woman out. We shouldn't just trash her. We feel for her.
We're not trashing her, but that is a point, like Cynthia made. That is something that I don't like to see either. And the reason why I think this woman should know a little bit better is because she's a performer, right. She's been in the gospel music industry for a long time. So she's probably been wearing her makeup wrong for a very long time, and I know she has to look at herself and see that that is not right.
I've watched that show for some years now, and her makeup has always looked like that, unfortunately.
But we need to help her and reach out and help her. She is singing for Jesus, and we should at least help her with her foundation. I think we got to get it to her from Beauty Talk. Add Illusions on Blog Talk Radio. You gotta send them some. You gotta send her something.
I agree. If anybody out there knows a way I can contact this woman, I would definitely send her some foundation. Bobby Jones.
Can you imagine if the next time you see her on video or in a picture, she's fixed?
A lot more companies are working towards foundation colors for darker skin women. Like, I know I'm a darker complexion, but even I've had clients that are darker than me. There are a few companies out there that will actually support those different dark skin complexions.
Professional companies, but not like CoverGirl or the companies that...
Even for, you know, Graftopia, I know they have a line but they have a wide range targeted towards, you know, African Americans, even like the blue black.
Yeah, I was going to say
I mean, some of the colors are outrageous how dark they are.
Yes.
But
that is the only time those very dark-skinned people, I have to tell you, when they have pigment discolorations or dark circles or, like, spots, you know, from razor bumps or something, I've noticed the only thing, though, that will cover that is a really, really orange foundation. Like, the most orangey brown takes away that dark, is the only thing that takes away that dark pigment when they have hyperpigmentation or dark circles.
I agree.
And I always say, no black woman is orange, and please don't make your face orange, but for professional artists, like, I have a little dab of it.
I agree.
In my kit for super, super, super dark people.
Yeah. It's even like when my mother came to visit me, you know, she was like, oh, I wish I could cover up my dark circles. It runs in our family. And I whipped out my orange color corrector, and she just looked at me like I was crazy. But I said, this will work, I promise you. She tried it, and it worked. And then she put her foundation on top of it. I had to give her I gave her some makeup forever.
Otherwise they'll look ashy under the eye. If you try to remove bags from a very dark woman's eye, no matter what, it will look ashy and weird under there unless you go really orange. But, I guess we all know that here. I thought I was, like, revealing a big Maxie secret.
We sat in your class, Maxie. We sat in your class.
God, I hate it when everybody knows everything.
Being an African American, I guess it does make it a little easier because we know what's going to work for our particular skin. Like my particular skin complexion, you know, I've tried companies for years, and I'm like, no, this company, no, it's too red. And finally, there are companies out there that have got it.
I actually worked on formulating Stila's brown colors back in the day. When they were first originally, like, coming out with those body tubes or whatever.
Yeah.
I went to Stila, and I literally, like, because that's all I was sort of known for working with people of color. I did mostly, like, hip-hop videos and black celebrities at that time. And so they called me in, and I actually worked on configuring the colors for their dark brown lines, like, 10 years ago. And I don't know how they're doing with it, but I suggested so many things. I don't know what they actually listened to and implemented. But yes, that was me. There's a few good browns.
What do you think? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask what Cynthia's up to.
Oh.
Cynthia
I want to know what Cynthia's doing.
I'm up to no good, Maxie. I'm back.
What are you working on? Are you still on that show?
The show, I had to take a pause. Well, they took a pause because, like, rain, whatnot, outdoor shoots. I actually got a call to do shoot this weekend, like Saturday, but I have a bride that already scheduled, so I was like, oh, but we're going to work around it. They still love me, and they're not going to fire me, so they just act that I replace.
Well, they're hyping up that show like crazy.
Huh?
They're hyping that show like crazy, like it's got, you know, on every station there's an ad about it because Rosie O'Donnell's on it or whatever.
You're talking about...
Are we talking about different shows and different people?
I thought you said Cynthia. Are you talking about Drop Dead Diva?
Yeah.
That's Denise.
Oh, crap. I got you guys all confused. I'm sorry. I mean, over the phone, it's really hard. By the way, where's my favorite whom I met in New York?
Oh, and Zynga.
And Zynga, if I don't get Nzinga on here next week, I'm going to be upset.
What?
Because Nzinga and me are very similar. Yes, Pete.
I'm gonna see what I can do about getting Nzinga on next week for you, Maxie.
Nzinga is a star. She's a big star. She should have her own TV show.
Nzinga is an awesome, awesome makeup artist, and she's been around for a very long time.
Really?
Yes, and I've had the pleasure of meeting her 2 summers ago in Wilmington, North Carolina. We worked on a film together for about 4 months in Wilmington, and that was kind of like her. Well, she had just started working in film, like a few projects before then, but she's a big, she worked in beauty and fashion and the music industry for years. All of those MAC ad campaigns, so Viva Glam with Mary J., Lil' Kim, and all those people, that was Nzinga. That was Nzinga. She was with Janet Jackson for a while back in the day. So Nzinga's been around for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a really good setup for her to come next week. I'm really excited. Gosh, Nzinga.
Yeah.
Nzinga?
Nzinga.
Nzinga.
Yeah.
Did her mama name her Nzinga?
Yes, she did.
Oh.
And it
I thought that was some fancy she came up with.
No, it means something. I just forgot what, but it does mean something.
It means her mama is wild. I love her, though. I can't wait for her to come on next week. Now, do you guys want to talk about period makeup?
Yeah, we were waiting for you to bring that on. Yes.
Well, I mean, I regret to talk about it, but just for the professional beauty people out there, I think it's worth just, I talk about the subject all the time, but I never really, like, highlight the importance of period makeup within the subject of the death of fashion. Like, we all know that fashion is stagnant. Right now the 70s are back or whatever. And because of that, because of there not being anything new, which is what I always complain about, that every designer is a fraud and ripping off everyone from the past. But the fact is we have to work. And everyone in the industry will bring on references from other jobs and from past periods or from past films, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Like, this is a modern-day Breakfast at Tiffany's shoot. Or, whatever it may be. But I just think it's really important for artists to realize and to know and to perfect not only, like, all the periods of makeup from Renaissance, I don't know if there is some makeup involved in that by creating that look too, but the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And not only just 80s as in one look, like say you were doing 10 people for an 80s job, you wouldn't want them all to look the same. And there's different looks within those periods. There's the early 80s, the mid 80s, the late 80s, the early 70s, and the late 70s. There's what celebrities wore and what real people had on. Then always they'll say, we'd like a modern version of the 70s with a twist of the 70s or a twist of the 20s. Or they'll always throw this in. And people, when they do their research for periods, they'll open like a Kevin Acoin book, and which is a beautiful book about, it shows one style of those periods in a great way. But that's not how you research those periods. You have to actually go back and, look at those films and look at old photo shoots and the old celebrities at those times, those different periods of times, and then think of, your own possible modern-day versions of that and be prepared to know every period, because on every job, people will refer to another period besides the one you're in. Because the one we're in we're in another period. We're in the 70s right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, basically I'm repeating and adding to what I've said before. And it's a sad fact. We just have to prepare by knowing every period.
Absolutely. And you know what? When you said that, that reminds me of on blush, that was something that Charlie repeated over and over and over and over again to the contestants. You have to know your period. And I think as makeup artists, that is so important. It's crucial that we know that. We can't be on a shoot and a director or a photographer or somebody requests a look from a period and we not know what to do. Because, you know, you don't bring all your books with you. You don't have notes with you, you know. So you don't have anything to go back and look at or refer to. You have to already know it. And that's something that I want to get into when we schedule Charlie Green to be on. Just so you all know, we're starting in September. We'd like to have like a 5-part series on blush. And, of course, Maxie will be a guest.
I'll be on every single day.
Yes. And we like to get a couple of other people from Blush, including Nolan and Charlie Green and a couple others. So
now, also, it would be great to one day just have all of us on one day all at once, like a Blush reunion with Mo and Mike and Charizard and Raynell.
Well, that's probably how we'll end the series with everybody on one show. But we like to also do a show where, you know, a just select group of the contestants get their own time.
Like, I talked to every single person from Blush except for Michael. I talked to even Jessica, the little white girl that was thrown off first.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to all of them still to this day. Except Mike. I don't know what had happened. I don't know what went wrong with that. But
I actually saw Mike in L.A. Back at the show.
I saw him, too. No, I saw him as well.
I liked him. I thought he was a good makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had other talents he didn't get to display. Like, he's an amazing hairdresser, and he's a great special effects makeup artist, and he does all these things that he never really got to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for beauty makeup, it's like, you know, it takes a certain hand. But I also saw him at IMAP, and we said hi, and we hugged or whatever. But, you know, we had tough times. We got in a fight on Blush or whatever. But we can contact him for the reunion.
Yeah, we sure can. And let me ask you, Maxie, do you know if they're coming back with a season 2?
Highly doubt it. The reason that they had Blush on Lifetime originally was to lure in and to facilitate the easy transition of Project Runway coming to Lifetime.
Gotcha.
And then there was a problem with legal issues and court battles trying to get Project Runway away from Bravo to Lifetime, and it was looking like it wasn't going to happen. And so they never moved forward on any further Blush stuff. I don't think it was a very Lifetime-oriented show anyway to be on there at that time without Project Runway. But now they have Project Runway, and I don't think they care much about Blush. They didn't promote Blush very much at all. Like, ABC, the mother station of Lifetime, which is also owned, you know, by Disney in the end.
Right.
They normally promote every show, Army Wives, every show that's on Lifetime on Channel 7 on ABC. But they never once promoted Blush on ABC, which is their way of popularizing a show, is by playing advertisements on sister state, you know, or daughter stations.
Right.
They were never into Blush. I don't think there will be a second season.
That needs to change because we need a second season. That was an excellent show, in my opinion. I loved it.
People have to actually write into Lifetime and express their opinion about that stuff. Anytime you want anything to happen, like programming-wise, it really does make an effect to do, like, mass emailings to places and stuff like that, because then they go, wow, you know, people really do miss the show or whatever it is. Not just Blush, but anything.
Okay,
they
right.
do pay attention to such things.
Okay. Well, I have to get on.
I really know the reality world now. I mean, I just shot a pilot for my new show. I have sold now two other shows to other production companies.
Uh-huh.
I'm totally like immersed in, like, I totally know that world. I totally even understand why they won't come back with a second season.
Gotcha.
It was a niche show
uh-huh.
that they're covering sort of that beauty element with Project Runway. Because,
uh-huh.
you know, there's little photo shoots and little,
right.
you know, whatever. There's
exactly.
some modeling and some, you know, there's some of that in there. And so makeup is just one thing. It's hard to base a whole show on that, especially unless you do it revolve it around the characters, and the characters Disney, I don't think, is that into.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I could go on and on about Disney, though, by the way. I mean, I really could. I just worked for Disney doing, like, some of the High School Musical kids and the Hannah Montana kids, and whoa. Disney, I will save that for a future rant and rave. About Disney and we'll talk about in the future.
Well, you guys, we are coming to the end of this show. I'd like to thank everyone that was in the chat room tonight. Christina Ashley is our winner of the OCC prize pack. So Christina,
yay! Woo!
So, Christina, don't forget to email your address and contact info to info@illusionsbeauty.com. And, Maxie, she definitely wants to hear your rant the next time.
Oh, my God, Christina, don't forget to, like, have so much fun with those lip tars and shimmers and blend them all together and create your own colors of shimmer. And so excited for her.
Yes.
I want to get that.
Also, we like to thank Valente, even though he wasn't able to get out tonight, but thanks for his manager and all who did call in early enough to let us know so that we had time to kind of, you know, rearrange our thoughts. So I appreciate that. We will reschedule a show with Valente because we're all excited about getting him on here. So please go out and rate tonight's show, and if you really like it, mark it as a favorite, and leave your comments out on the profile page. Please join us next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where our guest will be Michael Key of Makeup Artist Magazine. You can join the conversation next week by calling in at 914-803-4399, or you can email us, as always, your questions and comments at info@illusionsbeauty.com. Now, Aisha, are you still there?
I'm here.
Great. You've been kind of quiet towards the end. So as we're fading out, we only have about a minute left, but as we're fading out, can you just tell us what beauty is to you? Thank you again, Maxie. I really appreciate you filling in. I appreciate it.
And Maxie, I'm going to get you to help me with getting some of these people booked for the reunion show. Did he hang up already?
You know what? I think he's gone. I'm sorry. Maxie
okay.
is already gone. Okay, but we can handle that off air. But Aisha, as we're fading out, can you let us know what beauty means to you?
Beauty to me, in words of makeup, is pretty much enhancing what you find as beautiful in your own eyes, enhancing your features without having to cover up or mask anything. Everybody has beauty within them. I think as a makeup artist, that is key in working with faces, trying to find the beauty in the face and accentuating that so that everyone is able to see.
Thank you so much. With your
your little soft boy.
I'm sorry. Was I loud enough? Did you not hear?
Thank you so, so much, ladies. Now, Aisha, you know you have to get started on your sister right away.
Of course.
With that black liner.
Yes. Out of her bag.
Right. Start her off right now. I think that's the thing, is that we show people. And so that's why I'm in total agreement that we can get foundation out to this woman that we all saw in the email. See, I can talk to, we all saw that email. And it was horrible. I mean, and I'm not trying to put the woman down, but it was just horrible.
Oh,
so if we can, you know, maybe we'll put our secretary, Miss Ashley Joyce, on that. And maybe she can try to help us find out how we can contact her and send her some product. But we are now off the air. Thank you all. Good night.
Good night. Good night.